Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Exciting time. It always feels like a fresh start. Sometimes it can feel a little bit depressing because we just went through the most wonderful time of the year and now we're into the most drab time of the year. We just wish it would be summer. Anybody who just wish it would be summer already? I was riding in the car and I showed Reagan a picture of us in Malibu and she was like, I miss summer. And it's, oddly enough, she was crying in the picture. I had to fake crying, I think. And she's like, ah, you know, and it was so fitting. She really does miss summer. But sometimes we get in a place where we are wanting something to happen, but we're not sure what should happen. We just want something to be different. So we make all sorts of kind of resolutions. We have all sorts of ideas about what we're going to do, what we're going to do tomorrow, or we're going to start next week, or we're going to do next month. And we start adding up the calendar, and by this month or this date, then we could possibly do this. And the next thing, I can have this much weight dropped, this much money saved. I could go on vacation again in this month. And we try to figure it all out for the year, sometimes when we're looking at it fresh and new from the beginning. But what actually happens for us is we want something to change, but we're not always willing to do the thing that will take us into the change. It's called the change agent. You know what I mean? It's like, if something is going to change, you have to change. A lot of times we want things around us to change. We want our circumstances to change. We want our job to change. We want people at our job to change. We want our spouse to change. We want our kids to change. But we are not willing to change. And it takes some drastic measures in order for us to set in motion a change that will influence our year. For me, last year was an incredible year. 2018 was the most incredible year I've had in all my life, and I can't wait until 2019 because it will be an even more incredible year because of the things in my life that are going to change. I love and embrace change, and oftentimes I ask, what in my life am I going to do differently to influence change? And so every year here at ES First, we actually take time away in the first month, January, to have a fast. And what a fast is, it is setting aside food to pray for a spiritual purpose. Setting aside food to pray for a spiritual purpose. And maybe in your life you've fasted before. You've fasted for a day or two. Some of you have fasted for 21 days with us or whatever that was. But it has biblical precedence, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to talk to you about some ideas about taking the first part of your year and setting it aside for God to do great and mighty things, changing the way that you always do January, always do the first part of your year, and becoming focused on the thing that God wants to do in your life for the new year. Are you ready? Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. It says this, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great word of God that will come forth today, that your spirit will be anointed and do new things in us, that we will change from the inside out, that we'll see with fresh eyes, that we will be open in love with new hearts, that things in our life will be redirected, that some things that we've been holding on to for too long will be dropped off, shaken by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all that you're doing right here in this building, in this community, with these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Our theme for this year's fast is this. It's breakout. And breakout has a couple different connotations. Some of you have probably been to this thing called the escape room. Have anybody been there? Right? And you go into an escape room, and you have all these puzzles and things that you're trying to figure out, and you have to figure out all these clues with a group of people that you may or may not like. Some of you, like, go with your family, and you can barely get along in the kitchen at Christmas, let alone in a room locked with a bunch of puzzles. Maybe you go with your coworkers, and you get there, and you're like, I don't know, I don't even like you. And they're like, you got Ted over here. He's like the alpha male. He's like, well, I think we should. And it's like, no, Ted, you're not going to do that. Get your hand off my butt. You know, whatever it is that is going on in that room is not pleasant, and you're like, I gotta get out of here. But breakout has a couple different definitions that we might kind of look at today, and the first one is this. The first is to break out is a perspective of when you have a large group, a large community, such as like a conference or a meeting, is what we take a breakout. In other words, we take a group of a lot of people and we break out into smaller segments to be alone or to be with a few other people and to grow and to really dive into something so that when you come back to the whole, you're stronger and better. I want you to think about this. This is what God's going to do in your life as you take a time out through a fast, a 21-day fast. You're going to take a time out and you're going to break away from the whole. You're going to break away from what everybody else is doing. Maybe everybody else is going to the gym and they're joining new groups and they're doing all this stuff. You're going to retreat from that and you're going to break out to a place where, you, just like Jesus, you're going to frequently go away to be alone and to seek God for your year and your life. It is a breakout. Now, the second connotation of breakout is this. It is a forcible escape. And this is kind of like your breakout room, your escape room, right? You get in there and you solve some puzzles and you're alone and you're with a few other people and you're afraid you're never going to see the world again, the community, you're not going to see people again, okay? And so you're there. And you're scared that you're going to be locked in this room, but finally you get the puzzle right and you break out and you got it in just the right time. But the way that you come out of a room that you could possibly be in for longer than you want is very forcibly. You're excited, right? And what happens in our life is oftentimes we're put into a place, a situation in life where we're not meant to remain. Sometimes we're put there with people that you don't want to be there with. Sometimes you're put in situations that you love those people, but then you're stuck in this room and none of you want to be in there, but you're trying to get out. You're trying to get to a place that looks like the light of day, that doesn't look like a prison cell, but looks like brightness, it looks like glory, it looks like future, and it is a place where things happen. And in our lives, we want that same thing to happen in situations that we are oftentimes staying in for far too long, simply because we are not willing to do what it takes to break out, to forcibly escape. Another version says this, to forcibly escape and go into the next level. What is the next level for your life? And how long have you been at the same level, existing, remaining at this place right here, only doing the bare minimum, wondering when your life's going to change, when your job's going to get better, when will I get closer to God, when will I be able to go to Italy like Brandon, when will I be able to do great and mighty things that God has called me to? I feel like I'm destined for more, that God has placed some things inside of me, but for some reason I am stuck. You need to break out. And the only way to break out over here, to forcibly escape and to level up, is to break out over here. The only way to get to the next place that God wants you to is to break away from the hole and get alone with him. And this is what Jesus was constantly doing. It says that he would frequently get alone with God to pray. There is no more famous man on the entire planet than Jesus Christ. As he walked across the globe, what was happening was people would flock to him, they would follow after him, and he would not have time, he would not have the space to think, to pray, to get down and dirty with the person who created him. And he understood that his power was connected to this prayer life. And so he would remove himself frequently. Sometimes it was early in the morning. Sometimes it was like right in the middle of the day. Sometimes the Bible says he would pray all night long. And when is the last time that you prayed for more than 5 minutes? When was the last time that you broke out from whatever else was going on to find a place where you could get alone with God, the person who knows everything, the person who can do anything, and the person who can take you from this level to the next level? It is called the breakout. The breakout is a place that we enter in through prayer and fasting. Funny story is that Jesus was actually hanging out with his three disciples, and they go up on a mountain. They go up on a mountain, and they climb up there, and this incredible thing happens. In Mark, I believe in Matthew, also talks about it. But Jesus goes up on the mountain, and he has his three closest friends, And all of a sudden, there's like these two angelic type beings that are all lit up like Christmas. And they are Moses and Elijah, and they begin talking to Jesus. And Peter and his disciple and the two other disciples, Jesus' disciples, they begin to like just be in awe of this. And oftentimes, when we're in situations that we don't know what to do, we nervously talk. And so Peter begins to nervously talk, and he begins to run his mouth a little bit. He's like, we need to stay right here. Let's build some tents. Let's build a church right here. This is the holy ground. I mean, we got Moses, we got Elijah, we got Jesus, and Jesus' light is, his clothes are shining like lightning, the Bible says, as bright as could possibly be, and there's this amazing thing going on. And God speaks from the clouds, and he's like, this is my son. Listen to him. And the cloud comes down and rests over them. And Peter's like, bro, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is where we're supposed to be. But it's not where they're supposed to be. The mountaintop was not where they're supposed to be. They go back down, and what they find when they get back down is they find that there's a demon-possessed boy. And oftentimes, we go from the glory of God into the dirt of the world. We go from the wonderful mountaintops experience, and we have to remember that as we get alone with God, we come back to the reality that we are in a broken, fallen place that needs the glory that's on the mountain in their lives in the bottom. And so they're down there, and actually the rest of the disciples that are left behind were kind of somewhat attacked by these people. Like, hey, can you heal my son? Can you heal my son? And the whole crowd's like, yeah, can you heal his son? And he comes up, and he's like, this boy, like, he just kind of throws himself into the fire and his crazy stuff, and he needs to be delivered. He needs to be healed. And they start to have a prayer meeting. They start to pray, oh, God, would you do something? If you could do anything, oh, please, God, if it be your will, please take this demon from this kid. They start having a whole prayer meeting just like we would for somebody who is in dire need, and nothing happens. Not one thing happens, except the crowd gets a little more rambunctious. They get a little more uneasy. They get a little more upset. And what happens is Jesus and his disciples come back down, and immediately the crowd attacks Jesus. They're like, hey, we brought this boy to your disciples, and we asked them, could you heal him, please? And they've been praying, having a prayer meeting. They've been drinking communion. They've been, you know, doing holy water. They've been doing everything that they know how to do, and nothing has happened. And Jesus looks at the whole entire crew, the disciples, the crowd, the extended people, and he says, how long do I have to put up with you? How long do I have to put up with you? And he lays hands on the boy, and the boy is healed immediately. The demon goes out, and a new thing is done in that boy's life. Now, if you're a disciple, you're wondering, first of all, Jesus, why did you embarrass the crap out of us in front of everybody? Right? Have you ever felt like that? Jesus, why did you embarrass us in front of everybody? Why did it have to go down like this? You know, if it's the same power, you know, if God's able to do anything, if God even wanted to, because a lot of times we're like, well, God must not want this boy to be healed. It's just his will that this boy is not going to be delivered or nothing. And so let's just stop praying and go have some steak. But they get alone with Jesus and they're wondering all these questions. It's the same God, same demon, Jesus, us. And they ask, God, Rabbi, why couldn't we cast the demon out? It's a tough deal. Why couldn't we cast the demon out? And Jesus says to him, says that kind of demon only comes out by fasting and prayer. Now, here's the interesting thing. I didn't see anywhere in that story that Jesus stopped and fasted and prayed. But yet, his strategy was to fast and pray. And so we begin to ask each other, what is the strategy for bringing the power of God and the glory on a mountain to the deepest, darkest places? Is fasting and prayer not in a moment, but it is a lifestyle of breaking out to fast and pray so that the power of God goes with you when you need it most. Because it's the same God, it's the same kid. The only difference is the person who knows God deeply here is Jesus through fasting and prayer, and the disciples who knew what they wanted but weren't sure how to get it. And I'm here to tell you that there's some things in your life that you see other people having, the power of God on their life, things that are happening. You're like, God, how do I do that? It must be that you don't want me to have that. It must be that maybe you don't want that for my life. It must be that that's not your will for me. But I'm here to tell you that there's some stuff in your life that you need to break out and become the kind of person that God is looking for you to be, to be fulfilled in what God has called you to do, to get to know him better so that when the time comes, the power of God can rest greatly on you to do the great things that he's called you to do. We've been tricked into believing that some things will happen just because God may or want them to or not want them to. But I'm here to let you know there's some things that God wants to do continually through your life, to do in your neighbor's life, your family's life. And he's looking for somebody who will break out. So they could break out. So they could bust out. So they could change the darkest places. Be full of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus says, some of these things only happen by fasting and prayer. So our fast to break out is a time for us to get alone with God. Jesus got away frequently, and he knew it was the power that was going to take him to the next level. I'm the kind of person that wants to see miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. I'm also the kind of person that wants to walk into a room and the peace of God rests on him so greatly that the room changes. I'm the kind of person that wants things to change everywhere I go, because if God is able, I want to be the kind of person that he can do it through. Sometimes that means putting away some stuff that everybody else would be willing to rock with. Sometimes it takes fasting and prayer when everybody else is partying. So we take our day, 21 days, we set aside time to fast and to seek God. First time, I think it was 2012. It was just before Judah was born. And for about 2 years, God had been telling me to call this church to a fast. In little ways, it was just crazy. I'd be like at Hy-Vee. Walking through the aisles, and God would show me something about fasting in a moment. 1 year, my sophomore year of high school, I fasted for a whole semester. I didn't eat lunch for basically the whole year. And people, it's amazing how, like, if you just, like, miss a meal or, you know, whatever, then people don't really think much about it. But the minute you like commit something to God, then everybody's like, hey, let me buy you lunch. You want a soda? You want no, don't give me any food. I don't want anything. Right? And so that year I remember telling my dad, I played basketball and I was like, Dad, I'm gonna quit basketball. He's like, why would you quit basketball, son? I was like, because I want to see revival in my life. He's like, don't quit basketball. But I began to fast and pray and seek God for great things to happen. I was asking God's will for my life. What was I supposed to do? Where was I supposed to go? All of those things that I was breaking out so that God could break me out. I remember God doing great things in that time of my life. He began to show me things, speak to me things from my life that God is still fulfilling today. It's crazy. And a lot of them were very obscure things, not very clear things. But I knew that I had to be obedient. That's the first time. After that, I didn't fast for a very long time. But then, like I said, 2010, 2011, God was dealing with me about fasting. And 2012, I was like, okay, we're going to do a fast. I was in Seattle, Washington. Sorry. And on a little trip with my sister and her lovely husband. And we were hanging out and gearing up for fasting for 21 days. I had never fasted for 21 days like this in my life. Like 21 days of fasting. But in my mind, I said, if other people can do it, I can do it. And I think in our lives, we miss that possibility that if it can be done, then it can be done with me. If it's possible, then I believe that I can do it. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes we're like, I can't lose 100 pounds. No, she can't lose 100 pounds. She would be like a stick. You'd be in the hospital if you lost 100 pounds. But like, we're like, I can't lose 100 pounds. Like, okay, we can land people on the moon, but you can't lose 10 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, we underestimate ourselves incredibly. Like, somebody can make $1 million and we can't save 1,000. Right? If it's possible, it can be done with me. Okay? And so I begin to look at this in fasting terms. Like, if somebody else can fast for 21 days, then I can fast for 21 days. Okay? And so I begin to look into it. And what happens is we fast for 21 days. We call it a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is, it's no meat, no sweets, no dairy, no bread. Okay? So that means it's basically fruits and vegetables. You can eat beans because they're legumes and they're not on that list. Okay? Some people do eat rice. I don't encourage rice. But the purpose of this type of fast is to stay somewhat running so that you can live your life, but to always feel somewhat hungry. Right? People are like, you know what? I'm just not full. And you're like, praise God. Then you're getting the fast. Okay, Jesus had what's called an absolute fast. No food, no water, 40 days. Elijah, 40 days, fasted, absolute fast. Okay? There's different ways that you can do this. This is not fasting for health reasons. Every year, because you already got your little bungee cord ropes at home and you got your Taibo, you know, Sean T videos, you're like, oh, good, a fast would be great. I could drop sugar and then we could just, you know, eat everything we're supposed to eat. Like, no, that's not the point. It's fasting for a spiritual purpose. It's setting aside so that you are basically kind of malnourished to remember that you are seeking God and not the comforts of life, okay? Now, in that, some people will say stuff like, what about coffee, okay? Now, when I was a soda drinker, I used to drink like 4 44-ounce Cokes a day. That's a lot of soda, okay? It was a problem, I'm sorry. So my first year in the fast, that was my biggest thing. It's like, how am I going to give up soda for 21 days, right? And I did it. And people said, are you just going to keep on with that? It's like, no, I don't want to dishonor God like that. That would be a lifestyle change. I'm fasting. I'm going to go right back to it, right? And I did. And eventually, I gave all that up too, which is not good for you. Don't do things like that, okay? But there's people that have given up smoking, given up soda, giving up all sorts of things in their life that they have continued to give up for the rest of their life during this time. For me, that was caffeine. It was caffeine. And somebody says, well, what about coffee? And now that I'm a coffee drinker, technically, coffee is a juice, okay? Just saying. All natural. No. And I say that to say this. In doing this Daniel fast, 21 days, and you just kind of take those big four, no meats, no sweets, no dairy, no bread. And then you go, okay, God, what can I do? Right? Some people are like, well, my health, yada, yada, yada. First of all, if you've researched it long enough, your doctor that's telling you that you need carbs, actually you could live better without those things. Just saying. There's one particular gentleman in our church. The first year, I think he gave up chicken or something like that. He gave up chicken. The next year, he's like, I could have done way more. And then he gave up greater. And then all the things that he said he needed the first few years, now he's like full on keto and eats none of that stuff. And he's doing awesome. No, there's some people that have legitimate health concerns and they can't do certain things. Or that kind of shock to their body would be just crazy. So you have to learn, you have to take some things that God is speaking to you and take them off your list and live without them for 21 days. Okay, so you have an absolute fast. The first is nothing for food, no food, no water. Jesus did it 40 days. Elijah did it 40 days. Other people have done it 40 days. I would not suggest nothing for 40 days. Okay, don't do that. Unless you really want to. I'm looking at you, Mike Cooper. All right, okay. All right. The second one is a liquid fast. So water, you can do juice if you want. And like broths, okay? That's a good way to kind of keep your energy level up without having to just go cold turkey. Usually I spend the first 3 days only going water. I've gone as many as 7 days water only, okay? The next week I've added like broth and then added vegetables the third week, okay? okay? I've spent all 21 days eating French fries from McDonald's sometimes because those are technically vegetables, right? Not very healthy. I'm just saying. I've cheated and I've done really good, okay? I've done lots of good. I mean, sweet tea, technically sweet tea is a juice. And French fries, you know, there's some people who do that. You know, like there's lots of teenagers that live on that for 21 days, right? So there's you can cut out. Daniel fast is minus those four things. Absolute fast is nothing. Water and juice fast is you can set it up however. So I would suggest you can go 3 days with like water or juice and then go into Daniel fast for the rest of the 21 days. That's an incredible way to go. Or if you can't do any of those things or you're just scared out of your mind, which I think if you're scared, it means you should probably get busy with this because anything you're scared of, you should just dive into, right? Okay. Which I'm going to rewind. I personally was like, if I go to Africa and we go to the falls and there's a bungee jump there, because I guess like there's a bungee jump in Africa. And I was like, if I go there and there's a bungee jump, I think I have to do it. Right? And I'm not like a heights person. I'm not like a jump off a cliff kind of person. I would skateboard off a cliff, but not jump off a cliff. And I get there, and I looked at the contraption that they use for the bungee jump, and it's like, I don't really feel like I'm supposed to get on that one. Right? The guy's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to strap you onto this. We're going to push you off the edge. And then when you get out there and you can't go any further, we're going to drop you all the way down. I was like, no, you're not going to drop me nowhere. Okay, so there's some certain things when you're fearful of, don't dive into, Samantha, okay? That would be one. But a lot of times when it comes to the fast, we're scared. We're scared. And the truth is that as you say yes to things that God is asking you to do when you're scared, then he shows you later on about things that you thought you were once scared to do, that if you can do this, then you can do that. If you can get here, you can get there. It's a process of learning to trust him. And I think part of Jesus being able to cast out demons is because he spent enough time with God to be around his goodness and his mercy and his power that he truly believed that God would heal and restore and he would fight against any demon that was standing against God. And I don't think the disciples did that. I don't think that they had the faith for that yet. I don't think they could see God in his goodness and mercy and fighting back the darkness to participate in that. And I'm here to tell you this, that as you begin to see God in the fast, in the breakout, in the times away, you're going to experience him in greater ways at your work, in your life, in your future, for your purpose. You're going to believe him for greater things. I believe that my life before I started fasting in 2012, even though I was very hopeful, was not marked with as much faith as I have now to see the impossible. So, absolute fast, juice fast, Daniel fast. Now, the fourth kind is what we call modified. You can modify it in any way you want, okay? Now, most people modify it because they're scared or because they don't want to do the hard thing, okay? I'm here to let you know you can do more than you think you can. You can do more than you think you can. So modified, there's a bunch of different ways. You could include whole grains. People do that. Like if you Google Daniel fast, you're going to see all sorts of recipes for like rice and all that kinds of stuff. And kind of like, well, if the internet says that, rice was like okay on the Daniel fast. Not everything on the internet is just valuable. We're talking about you and God, not you and the World Wide Web. You know what I mean? Okay, so you pray. And you decide in your life what it is that you're going to do, and then just do it. Just do it. During this time, you're going to want to cut out some TV, most of it, all of it, whatever that is. Cut out internet, yada, yada, yada. We'll have a Facebook group for you, but a lot of people are just addicted to Facebook, addicted to Instagram, whatever, me. Cutting out things, distractions, I mean, like whatever you're kind of into, just remove it. Break out. I mean, really, really break out to be with God. It's like, it's only 3 weeks, right? So if you have to give up whatever it is that you watch every single night, what if it's like The Voice? You're like, I'm going to miss The Voice. So what? You're going to meet Jesus. So make some decisions about your life and what you want to do, who you want to be. Get alone with God and then make a decision, follow through with it. The dates that we're going to start is next Sunday on the 6th. So it will start in the morning, and then it will end on Saturday, the 27th, at sundown. And I think that's 21 days. If it's only 19 days, that's all we're doing. So just get over it. Some people are like, this is technically not 20 days. I was like, I don't care, like, really at all. Did you eat pizza on Tuesday? Oh, you ate pizza on Tuesday. Okay, we're going to call out people out. We'll call people out. Okay, so 21 days. I'm looking at you, Noblets. Just playing. That is a funny story. The first year we did this, the Noblets were, like, freaking out. And then they went, like, all week. And they're, like, trying to go hardcore. And on Saturday night, they ate pizza. Like, you know what? We're giving up on this. And they ate pizza. And then I came up and I preached a sermon the next Sunday. I said, do not give up. Start again. And so they started again. And that was, like, their first, that was the most terrible year, wasn't it? And then since that, they've been fasting since. But trust me, you're going to fall. You're, like, one day, you're just going to drive by Burger King. You're like, I'm going to get the triple Whopper just because. And, like, and you never get the triple Whopper, but you got it because you're fasting and you're freaking out. And, like, you're going to be like, I ate a triple Whopper. It's over. I'm not doing it anymore. It's like, it's not over. Start again. Like you keep rolling with it, right? If you drive through and you're like, the devil convinces you that sweet tea and French fries is okay on the fast, like, just repent and start again, okay? Whatever it is, like, you're going to go 21 days with us, all right? And God's going to do great things. Now, the last week of the 21-day fast is what we call encounter week. So if we're expecting God to do great things, we're going to take the last week. It's a week of revival. Actually, before we ever started the fall revival, we started the encounter week. I was gonna show you a bunch of pictures of my life from 2018, right? And I took very seriously this breakout idea this year. And I took time where I got away with God, and God spoke to me in very deep ways. The 21-day fast was incredible. And I was gonna show you places where God spoke to me. Now, honestly, one of the greatest places God ever spoke to me is right here in this little area, on the floor, laying there. In Malibu, on the beach, listening to God talking about brokenness and wholeness and hearing his voice. Then in Africa, looking over Victoria Falls, where the water was so loud you couldn't hear the person next to you, dropping 300 feet from the Zambezi River to the bottom of the rocks. God said simple things like, Brandon, when Elijah said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain, these are the kind of things that he heard. And I can rain in your life, I can pour down more than you have ever imagined. If I can pour this much water off a cliff, imagine my goodness in your life. When God woke me up in February, 2 o'clock in the morning, to make sure I was awake so I could hear something very distinct from him. So I thought about taking pictures of Malibu and Victoria Falls, and then showing you a picture of my bed, showing you a picture of the floor. That I'd break away to Los Angeles. We're serving on the streets in Skid Row, and God spoke to me there. And then God spoke to me in Atlanta, Georgia, Savannah, Georgia. That God would speak to me, Flagstaff, Arizona. All these places were marked by me breaking away for 21 days. And so many people just buy into this lie that, well, God's not saying nothing. Trust me, God is saying more than you could possibly take in. But maybe you just haven't spent enough time breaking out from the crowd to hear that voice. You're hearing a sound. You're hearing noise. You're hearing a just continual din of the world. And you can't set it aside. It's like you're tuned in to what the world is saying. Like, you almost are happy about it. You're not going to pull the wool over my eyes. I know what's going on here. I don't care. I just want what Jesus is saying. I just want that. And I have to remind myself again and again and again. And sometimes things get weird and I'm like, what's going on? And God's like, maybe it's time to break out, Brandon. And maybe your whole entire year, maybe your whole entire life has been that way. And God is saying to you, it's time to break out. It's time to get away. And if you can break out here, I'll break you out into places that you've been claustrophobic in. You've been imprisoned by. Stuff that you own. You're listening to the voice of the world about things that you say, that they say you'll always have to deal with. And God is saying, no, I can take you higher. What could your world be like if you broke out this year so that you could break out to a new level? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We'll have forms for you to fill out. You can just decide in a minute. But right now, would you just physically decide? Physically decide. Mentally decide. Spiritually decide. Even though this is hard, it's going to be tough. It's going to take a toll on your mind, your body, your spirit. It will be the most wonderful thing you've ever experienced. If you'll say yes. And trust me, there'll be times you'll fail. You'll walk by a pastry and be like, oh. People will buy you lunch. You get blessings at work. They'll be like, here's 12 dozen donuts. And you'll have the option to choose God again. To say yes to a higher level. So that you can leave a legacy for your family. That you can leave a legacy in your community. That you can leave a legacy in the kingdom of God. That you can give like nobody else has ever given before. That you can realize new dreams, new heights, because it took time to break away, to break out. Trust me. God wants to do great things in your life. Jesus was convinced of it. Are you? Would you say yes? And then say, God, what do you want me to do? Daniel fast, which I think is the best way to go. Maybe it's higher. Maybe it's all liquids. Maybe you're going to fast all day long and then eat at night. Whatever that is, do it with everything inside of you and expect God to do great things in you. I'm going to pray for you and you can make a decision from there. We're going to pass out some papers in just a few minutes. And you can prayerfully write your name down if you agree. Father, would you call your people this year to greater things, to new places, to higher? Thank you, Lord, for my friends that walked into a church service and didn't know what to expect, but are here meeting a strategy from the throne room of heaven for their life. Thank you for a new year, a new way to live. Thank you for greater things that you're calling us to. Give us insight to the throne room of heaven when you formed us in our mother's womb. And you breathed a plan in our life. Let us not abort that dream you put in us for something other. And we thank you for all that you are, all that you're doing, and all that you will be in our lives. You are incredible beyond measure, and we